So I stopped last week from John 6:63. The Bible says, and I read the word of God, he is the spirit. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. It is the spirit that quickeneth. Now, I want to start by saying that statement is a principle. Do you understand? That statement is fundamental. That statement is true. When the Bible says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. So in other words, you cannot dispute it. You can't fight it. You can't argue it. You can't change it. So you have certain things in God's word like that, certain words in God's word that are facts, treason. Do you understand that? You know, you either believe it or you don't believe it. By stripes, I was healed. That's a fact. Do you understand? That is not subject to a conference. Let us debate it. Let us discuss it. And so this place started the same way that he said, the spirit quickened. You know, that's a truism. That's a fact of the scriptures, which every Christian, you know, if you really want to gain from God's word, must believe and you must understand. And so the spirit quickened. So what the Bible is saying here is this. Because you see, the previous verse was talking about the destruction that flesh can bring. And so the first thing I want you to see here, when they say the spirit quickened, is not the Holy Spirit. Because you see the way or the precedence that had been laid, it was talking about the flesh. And so now it's talking about the spirit. So that is showing a comparison between the spirit and the flesh. So don't make a mistake. That's not talking about the Holy Ghost. Now I say the spirit quickened. Now, the flesh does not quicken. The flesh can kill. So this is what he's saying. That if your spirit is not alive, you know, I talked some about this earlier on. If your spirit is not alive, actually you are dead. Why we were dead is because our spirit, through the fall of Adam and Eve, you know, our spirit became dead. Or we became dead because we are separated from God. So the state of man before the coming of Jesus was a state of death, a state of separation from God, you know, and the effort of Christ or the effort of God or the plan of God is to be able to reconcile us back to himself. And that's why Jesus came and he died, you know. And so that statement is true to the extent of what we knew happened when Adam and Eve fell. You know, so we were all dead. So he's saying here that, therefore, in that death situation, what can bring life is the spirit. So when the spirit becomes alive, then our dead body, you know, will become alive. I want to extend it to say, not only your dead body, but everything that you can achieve through your body, you know, your life, your environment, your immediate environment, your family. Do you understand that? Because the truth of the matter is that as death was passed from Adam onto us, so also death, you know, in you is passed to your family. Do you understand that? Because the dead cannot give rise to a living. You know, so we were dead. But the Bible says they are very instructive, but it said the spirit quickened. So it's saying that when the spirit comes in, it will quicken our dead body. It will bring life. So the spirit wants to energize our dead body. So that's what that statement is saying. So how can our spirit receive life? How can our spirit receive life? Because the spirit must receive life so that the body can be quickened, so that our life can be quickened, so that, you know, your echo can be quickened. You and things around you, dead family, dead businesses, because if you become alive, things around you too will receive life, isn't it? Things around you will receive fire. So it's not saying This is it. Because you see, a way to read the Bible, it is the Spirit that quickens it. You will see a semicolon there. Do you see? Then he went ahead to build. He said, the flesh profited nothing. You know, I've explained that. Flesh is not hiding anything to you. Because through your flesh, you can never contact God. God is a spirit. Through your flesh, we can never have relationship with God. So flesh profited nothing. It's the spirit that quickened it. He's not saying, how? Your spirit be quickened. He goes ahead to say, the words that I speak, they have spirits. So in other words, the words that I speak, and that translation says, they are spiritual. So the words that I'm speaking actually are not targeting your flesh. The words that I'm speaking are actually targeting your inner man. That's what he's saying. How can you receive quickening? You receive quickening when your spirit comes alive. How can your spirit come alive? Your spirit will come alive when you receive the word of God. How did you get born again? A very simple confession. That is receiving God's word. Praise God. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You become born again. So when you receive the word, your spirit becomes alive and your spirit goes ahead to quicken your body. But you see, the thing that we kickstart your spirit is you receiving the word of God. Because the Bible says, another fact, it said the words that I am speaking, it said they have spirit. They have spirit. So, when you receive the word, the spiritual word, it makes your spirit man to become alive. And so, not only will it quicken, it said, they are alive. Another thing I want you to see from there is this. So, the first point I've established is the word of God is spiritual. And the word of God, you know, is life. So what he's saying, therefore, is this. Before something can give you life, what it simply means that that thing itself is living. I can't give you what I don't have. So before the word of God itself can actually be able to give life, that means the word is not just letters. That's a common mistake believers we make. You know, we think the word is a thing. We think the word is the Bible. You know, you have this other said that you don't put sin on that. It's a word. When they put their book down like this, you can't put a phone, you can't even put an handkerchief. Because they think that is the God. Did you get it? You know? Man, no. This is the Bible. This is written. But inside this, do you understand that is life? That is why it's a different thing to know the word. Another thing is to know the God of the word. You see, a lot of us, we know the word. You quote it. That's why you've quoted the word so many times. It hasn't given you any positivity. We quote the word so many times, we are not having the life that is in the word. It's because you know the word, but you don't know the God of the word. We don't know the God that has spoken the word. So the second point I want you to see tonight is the fact that the word is living. Until you begin to see the word as alive, then the word is not going to quicken your spirit. The word is a living being, if I put it that way. The word is a living being. Probably I read Hebrews chapter 4. I'm still going back there, but I think it's relevant now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We all know it, but I just want to get us to read the Bible because we call this service Bible study. That's why we read the Bible. And I want to repeat again, I don't fancy when it's phone that you are turning. You know that if you read Bible on your phone, you won't be able to know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They understand that. You won't know which book, follow which book, because you only type H-E-B, Hebrew will come. You don't know the book before Hebrew. You don't know the book after Hebrew. So you are doing yourself. So Hebrews chapter 4, you read your Bible like this, you underline it. You see some aspect of my Bible. I've underlined, I've used red, I've used green, I've used blue. You know, because each time there's something new that I see. You know, that's when you are studying the Bible. Say, for the word of God is quick. Now, that word quick, the original word that is used is, for the word of God can be translated living. That's what I want to bring out. For the word of God is living. And powerful. You can use another word there, active. So the word of God is living. Not only living, but it is active. You don't get that. You are going to get it now. You know that if you have a man that is in the hospital, is he not living? He's living, but he's sick. He's not dead yet. If you have a guy that has stroke, you know, and they carry and then they nurture, is he not alive? He's alive. So that's why the Bible is not only living, praise God. The Bible says he's living and it is active. So you can be living and not active, but glory to God. God's word is both living and it's active. Another thing I want to bring out from there, when it says something is active, you know, active means a continuous, you know, exercise of power, exercise of dominion. When you say something is active, you are not thinking in terms of the past. You are not thinking in terms of something that could happen before, you know, that it can no longer happen. You are not thinking in terms, you know, of a dwindling ability. Active means is full of power now, full of power tomorrow, full of power next year, full of power, you know, in 10 years, full of power the next century. Glory to Jesus. That is the mode of the word that I want you to see tonight. Is active. And he's living. The word is spirit, and the word is life. I want you to know for the rest of your life that God's word is living. I want to dare say to you that even don't use it for the word of God. Because it will not allow you to say light. Do you get that? It's a living being. The word are the utterances of God. Let me prove to you again. what the Bible says about the world. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20. Again, to prove to you that the word of God is alive, it's a living being. Even though we flip the Bible sometimes, you do it anyhow. But you're making a mistake, and that's why the word is not profiting. Acts chapter 20, 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now see what he's saying here. Which is able. In other words, and this is where I'm coming. The Bible says God's word has an ability. He said, not only am I committing you to God, he said, I'm committing you to his word. Now, when Paul was leaving the people, he was leaving them in the midst of, sharks, evil people, people that are refused to receive his message. But he had to go, and he looked around. Whom can I commit these people to? Whom can I say, please keep these people for me? He knew that this is a spiritual thing. He couldn't call Amatekuns of this world. He couldn't call the SSS of this world. He couldn't call all those people. He couldn't call the rich of this world. He said, I know that I can commit you to God for keeping. Now, not only that, I can commit you to the word of his grace. You know what he's saying. You need to get this. I'm going to talk from Acts chapter 19 again. Now, I've said this to you severally. There are many things that Paul could have done, the adversity, the wicked people, the people fighting the church, the people fighting the Christians, they are there. He could have said, let's round them up. He could have said, let's pray, like the people, they pray. Let's do prayer of fall down and dead for them so that they can be decimated, they can be no more. So that the only people that will be living will be Christians. And their mind will settle. Christians occupying the whole place. He will not do that. And Paul was like, look, we got to leave the unbelievers. Because again, we want some of them to come into the fold. We got to leave the wicked people. We got to leave the people, that are your enemy. The people that don't want you to prosper. The people fighting the church. The idol worshippers of the land. Because those people were converted from idolatry. Do you understand? Say, now that I leave, I've been watching over you. That a pastor will say, why didn't you come to church? We haven't seen you. Thank you for seeing you. We haven't seen you. You haven't come. But now he's going to leave. He wouldn't know who will come to church. You will not come to church. Do you get that? If we don't know who we go back, to the idol of their family. He says, so, I not only commit you to God, I commit you to his word. You know what he's saying? He knew that the word of God is alive. And there's an ability in the word of God. The word has an ability to build. Praise God. He has an ability. No, I don't know who goes to the gym here. That's what I want you to see. He can make a strong man out of a weakling. Your muscle is like this. You can't even carry 1 kg. But when you go to the gym and you exercise, you go to the gym. That's why a lot of us are not going to the gym, brother. When you go once and then the following morning you wake up, oh my God, the whole place is spending you. I wanted to do it one time. I'm not a gym guy, so I went on the treadmill. I was on treadmill for 1 hour, and I thought, oh, that is cool. And then the following morning, I said, yes, let me do more. I went on to dread me when the third day like this. Book back from God. And so you won't go again. You understand that? But when you want to develop strength, capacity, some muscle, you don't understand that you have to continue to go. When you want your tummy to become flat, you have to continue to go. When you want to have iPad 6, you know what? Do you understand 6 packs? You have to continue to go. Do you understand that? That's what I want you to see God's word in that mode. He said, even though you have people punching you, you have people buffeting you, you know, you have people that you are running away from. You see the giant, you know, they say some stuff to you. You don't know how to respond because, you know, you are not full of the word yet. But say, don't worry. I commit you to God's word. God's word is going to give you answers to all of them. God's word is going to get you to have your biceps. It's going to get you, you know, to have your six packs. It's going to get you to become strong so that when they come, you'll be able to withstand them. You know, he said, I am committing you to that word because there's an inherent ability. Praise God. You don't need to put God's word on fire. I said, I want to activate God's word. I put it. Oh, Neil, that's God alone, canon. They understand that. Like some people, they put Bible down and say, I'm standing on God's word. They understand you are just you are wasting your time. The word of God has been tried by God himself. And after the word had been tried, it was revealed that there's an ability inside God's word to build. So if you want to grow, if you want to overcome, if you want to break to the left, you want to break to the right, you want to have dominion, all that you need to do is to begin. Came and confess and show their deeds. Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That was the worth of the things, you know, they let go. And verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God. You know, to understand that,
so
you
know, mightily
your muscle
grew.
Your strength. I don't know that God's word can grow. Praise God. God's word can grow. So mightily. I like a translation. Let me give it here. I got this in the original. It says, so much with power, perforce, grew in external diffusion. I like that. In external diffusion and display itself powerful in the production of great effects, the doctrine of the Lord. Did you see that? So much with power and force grew external diffusion. Did you do biology? In biology, did you know osmosis? Did you know that? Osmosis. You know, osmosis, if I can remember, from a direction of higher motility. Do you understand? Into a direction of lower motility. You put it, the two of them together. Nothing will happen immediately. But gradually, osmosis will take place. You know, I said to you last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, you see, God's word does not do like magic. That's what a lot of us want. You want the word of God to work now. Do you understand? I say it, I claim it, I receive it, and I have it. You know why we not be like that? Because if it is like that, you know, I said to you last week that when God's word works in your life, it is producing in you more than the answered prayer. You remember I said it? You see, while you are working God's word and waiting, it's teaching you patience. So when God answers actually a believer's prayer, it is a combo. It is not the answers alone. You know, patience would have been taught. Long suffering would have been taught. Perseverance would have been taught. And so when you have answered to those prayers, and listen to the way I'm going to put it, you have the requirements to live in the new level of answered prayer. You don't get it. Let me say it in another way. If you are trusting God like that woman, you say to be a minister. Now, when you become a minister, there's a way a minister will live. You interact with people, all kinds of people. You know that a minister, you must again, probably I don't know, I wouldn't know what happened, but as a minister, you must tame your greed. Do you understand that? You must learn to look away. There are a lot of temptations. So when God is putting together the answer to those prayers, he will be teaching you along how to look away. He will be teaching you how to be content. He will be teaching you along how to be wise in using that position. Did you get that? That is what happened. And that is the reason that most of the time, God's word does not work like magic. Because to the new level you are going, a good example is that of Joseph that I've given severally. Joseph and his brothers, they were all going to Egypt. Because the destination in Egypt will be different, so their routes, their paths were different. Joseph was going to be a prime minister. All his other siblings are just going to be members. So for them, their path is just cruise. And I say something to you. When in your life everything is just straight, most likely your destiny is just lequestic. You know? You are not going to glory. But when you see a path that is rough, you know something, when you look at your path like this and you see a lot of roughness, you know, you see a lot of pitfalls, you see a lot of rocky area. If I were you, I just come to church, first of all. I come and do celebration. Because with that part, it be tibo unlo, it be gigani. But when you look at your part, express monwo yi, oh boy, that kunsunku. I say, Father, eh, feran mini, or 90 straight, ijuke. Because he was going to be a prime minister, God had to take him through a part where we learn forgiveness. Because, oh boy, for somebody to say what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Flesh goes all. Ah. You know, I'm trying to handle a case now. I say, Pastor, you mean that I should just keep quiet? Ah. Ah. I should imagine. You know, because we are still in the middle of it. You understand? It's not flesh. I said, what you meant for evil. God has told, flesh and blood go so nye ho. Into so nye is a product of suffering. The same people that you knew connived and put you in a pit and said, no, we are not going to make money. They said, bring him out. Let's sell him. And you are seeing them again. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. It don't go to happen. But God, because he's going to be a prime minister, how to teach him how to forgive. Because at that position, there'll be a lot of people that offend the prime minister. God had to teach him contentment. God caused him to go into the prison so that he can be, he can be, He can learn how to show empathy. To prison and you come back alive, you're a different person. That is the combo. When the Lord is done with you in life, you become perfect. And like the Bible says, wanting nothing. You become a full-fledged. The Bible says the word grew. And I like this. The word itself displayed itself powerfully. Nobody displayed God's word. Did you get that? Nobody did anything. The word itself, it has that ability. It said the word mightily grew. Nobody grew the word. Nobody. There's an inherent ability in the word of God to grow. So let me round up by saying this. You need to get this. Because the word has an inherent ability to grow. So, if you want to grow, and you want any area of your life to grow, you don't need to struggle. Begin to say God's word into it. Any area of your life that you see is facing some not too good fortune. You are not seeing productivity. Your finances, you are not seeing productivity. Your business, you are not seeing some enlargement. You are not seeing some increase. Remember, the word has an ability to grow. So, all that I need to do is get God's word into that area of your life and begin to speak it. I like the Bible here. It said, he grew. Now, the one I haven't mentioned, and prevail. What's the meaning? When you say you prevail, what he's saying to you is that you have adversity. You have resistances. All time had gone. I wish I can demonstrate it to you. You know, you have people surrounding you. You come. You know, I let you go on this. Can I have somebody else come? You come. You know, these are the adversity. You hold on to me. Just hold. You know, just hold. Put your hand together too. Do you understand that? So in other words, I'm contained. You know, I'm contained. I'm in a prison. I'm held down. My destiny held down. My health held down. But I now do something. I begin to take in the word of God. And the word begin to grow. And the word prevail. Do you understand? Break away from all those resistance. Break away from all those shackles. You see, when they were holding me bound, I was not begging them. I said, "Jo fi mi sile." I said, "Danu, Jo fi mi sile." You know, I want to call one benye. Ekpe Jesu le meje. Ekpe na le meta. Efi baba o le le meji. Bobo, I said, "Danu, efi mi sile. No. Ori ekan jeni. That time you go back to use the Clofenac. You know, after the prayer meeting. Do you understand that? You don't need to get all those things done. All that I need to do is that you just get God's word. God's word. It begin to grow. It will begin to grow. All around, it will begin to grow. And after a while, it will prevail. It will break the shackles. It will break the chains. And then you become free. Hallelujah. We continue from there next week. Amen. Praise God. Can we rise to our feet, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. If you are getting something, come on, lift your hands and just worship the Lord. And say, "Father, I thank you for the word of life." And say, "Father, I thank you for the things you are teaching me. Thank you for the words that you are speaking to me. Oh, I receive life. I'm quickened. I'm getting better. I'm getting live. I'm getting strength." Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. We give you praise and glory forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Father. We go under your wings, covered by your word. And Father God, we pray that the blood speaks for us. The blood works for us. We shall get to our destination in peace and not in pieces. Glory to Jesus. In Jesus' name, the saint of God say, hallelujah.